I'd like you to imagine for a moment that you're one of the disciples. You were going about life. Everything was pretty good. You were maybe fishing every day, making your living, carrying on the family business, until along came Jesus and he called you away from all of that. And for whatever reason, whether it was just the sheer charisma of his person or some of the words that he spoke, for whatever reason, you left all of that behind. You dropped it and you picked up kind of a backpack full of basic belongings and you went off with Jesus to wherever he was going to go. And then for the next 3 years, you just followed him to all of the different places he went. You listened to these most extraordinary teachings like nothing you had ever heard before. It made what you had grown up listening to in the synagogue, which was all about the rules and all about the guilt because you couldn't follow the rules, it made all of that just go away, and suddenly you felt free and you felt like there was nothing between you and God. Like you could do anything in the world. And there were the words of life coming from this man. And so you gave up and you walked away from everything just to be with him. And now you're sitting there with him and he's telling you that he's going away. And he's not going to be with you anymore. And then he goes away. He's killed. Yes, he rises again, but shortly thereafter, he's gone completely. And what do? Do you go back to the fishing nets? Maybe because you don't know what else to do, and it just loses its glow. It doesn't mean anything. You spent 3 years sitting at the feet of one of the most influential teachers of all of history, and now he's gone. Do you feel maybe abandoned by him? Especially when life starts to get hard, do you start to wonder whether it was worth it? Because things are kind of harder now that you've seen the incredible beauty that Jesus showed you. And now there's nothing. You know there's about 1,000 things that were left unsaid that you didn't say to him or that he didn't say to you. I think any of you who've lost a parent probably have that same kind of a sense where you've lived a whole life with this mother, this father who has loved you, who you've loved in return, and then one day they're not there anymore. And you can't help but think of all of the things that you didn't say or that they didn't say to you. And you just wonder how you're going to keep going. Maybe different difficulties hit you during life and you're able to go, okay, well, what would my mom have said? What would my dad have said? What would have his advice been? And maybe you can remember something. And maybe sometimes you just sit there and you go, oh, I so wish my mom was here because she would know what to do. Or I so wish my dad was here because he would be able to fix this. I think that's kind of what the disciples felt like when Jesus was gone. They must have looked around and said, what are we going to do? Felt abandoned, maybe? Felt a little bit lost? In the church, there have been different times when we've had similar kind of experiences. Some of you know, and many of you won't know, there was a man by the name of Don Fleming who was a member of the church when I first got here. And Don did everything. Don could fix the church boiler with coat hangers. Don could climb up onto the roof and do whatever things have to be done on that steep roof without falling off. Don did everything. And as Don started to age, I remember people going, what are we going to do when Don can't do this anymore? What on earth are we going to do? This church is going to fall apart because Don has been its primary caretaker for all of these years. He knows all the secret little cubby holes and the tricks and just exactly how hard you have to kick this pipe to make it work and punch this one to make it work. And he knows all of that stuff. What are we going to do when Don's not here anymore? Well, J. Hoover. There have been ministers who at different times, people have said, what are we going to do when they're not here? I think every time probably a minister leaves, there are those who have that feeling when Bruce Coombe left, that feeling of, what are we going to do with Bruce not here anymore? Prior to him, when Norman Eleanor Hovland left, that question of, how are we going to keep going without Norm and Eleanor, who were just the epitome of hospitality in this place? You go further back than that. I was looking through some of our historical documents. Henry Crabb. Henry Crabb was the Sunday school superintendent in this church from 1906 to 1936. For 30 years, this man oversaw every element of a thriving Sunday school. You can imagine, as he was getting close to year 30, people going, what are we going to do when Henry decides to retire from Sunday school? It's all going to fall apart. What are we going to do? There was a minister in our history, Reverend Dayfoot, and this is what was written about him back in 1936 in their 100-year history book. It was written, during his pastorate, he gave great impetus to Sunday school activities. Soon after his coming, it became necessary to remodel the Sunday school room. The building committee considered that a room with a seating capacity of 200 would be sufficient. But on opening Sunday, the attendance was 202. What are we going to do without Reverend Dayfoot when he decides to leave? Our Sunday school, you know, like, look at the Sunday school would take up this room. What are we going to do when he leaves? All sorts of different people. We have that. We sometimes have that in our own, in our work lives. Maybe you have a really, really great boss where you work, and your boss starts talking about retirement. You go, what are we going to do when he or she retires? I don't think this place can keep going. Your teacher, you have a really great principal. What are we going to do when they get transferred? It's very different from when you have a really awful boss and you go, oh, what are we going to do? It's going to be so marvelous when they retire. That sometimes happens as well. I'm very aware of that. If you were with Jesus, if you were a disciple and Jesus died, wouldn't you wonder about all of the things that had been left unsaid? All of the things he could have taught you, but he didn't have time to teach you? You know, and as life goes on, and you suddenly start to realize that people who follow Jesus Christ, even after Pentecost, and you're on fire for Jesus Christ, and you're planting churches, but people are trying to get you killed. People are reporting you to the authorities, and you're being imprisoned, you're being whipped, you're being beaten, you're being threatened with death. Aren't you sitting there going, how could he have left us to this? Why didn't he teach us in preparation for this? He didn't say anything about this. There were one or two little hints when we look back about we're like lambs going out in amongst wolves and things like that. But really, he did not prepare us for this. What would he say? How would he guide us in the midst of that? The danger is that you start to feel lost. You start to feel abandoned. And when you're looking ahead, when you're just at the beginning of it and you're looking ahead and you're thinking, how are we ever going to make it? Without Jesus, without Don Fleming, without Henry Crabb, how are we going to keep going without these people who were so central to it all? Jesus said to his disciples in this whole chapter 14 through 16 of John is considered his farewell discourse. These are all those kind of things that he was saying, okay, if I don't tell them anything, these are the things I have to tell him. And he says to them in the words that Tracy read for us, Jesus says, I still have so many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. I have so many things left to say to you. Jesus knew it wasn't all said. You can't ever say everything, right? You know that when you lose somebody who's so important in your life, you know that there's no way to say everything. And Jesus says, you can't bear them all now. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew the realities of the persecution and the suffering. He knew that every single one of these disciples was going to die a horrible, painful death. They were going to experience all sorts of horrors in their lives that were to come. He knew all of that. Why didn't he speak to that? Because they didn't know all of that. They didn't know what was coming. They couldn't have been prepared. It didn't matter what he said. Until it happens, the words don't mean anything. So he says to them, I have so many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Because you're not there now. The words don't mean anything until you're there. I mean, think back to advice you were given by grandparents or by parents when you were too young for it to make any difference, right? Think about all of the things we say to teenagers, hoping that maybe it'll impact them, and it doesn't, because it's not until they're adults and they look back and they go, oh, Mom knew what she was talking about. Or, oh yeah, Dad had it right. You know, it's not until we grow up. And so Jesus, in all of his great, extraordinary wisdom, He knew that he couldn't say everything. And so he had those extraordinary words of comfort for them. Yep, there's so much more to say. You can't hear it right now. But I tell you what, the Spirit of truth is coming. When I'm gone, I'm not leaving you abandoned. I'm not leaving you orphaned. You won't be lost because I'm sending the Spirit. The Spirit who the Old Testament regularly refers to as wisdom incarnate. The Spirit who breathes life and joy and peace throughout. That Spirit is coming, and that Spirit will speak my words to you. You just have to listen. And when you need the words, the Spirit will speak that wisdom to you. When they mean something, when they matter to you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. That wasn't just true for the disciples. I mean, if all they were going on were memories, they would not have persevered the way that they did. But they had the living presence of the Spirit of God there, continuing Christ's presence with them through it all, giving them the guidance, the wisdom they needed every step along the way. It was true for the disciples. It's true for us as well. You know, some of the great saints of First Baptist Church have long since left us, but the Spirit is still with us. The Spirit who was the source of all of the wisdom of all of those people. I love how Hebrews talks about there being a cloud of witnesses. I feel on anniversary Sundays like we are very aware that there is a cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. That it's not just the here and now, this moment, these people, us. There's more than a century of witnesses that just cover us and surround us, who had the same Spirit as we have, guiding and directing them with wisdom, giving them everything that they need as they need it. Again, as I was going through the history, one of the things I was thinking about was how if the people who planted this church in the 1800s had been told everything they needed to know for the church of the 21st century, they wouldn't have been able to bear it. The world has changed. The issues that a church faces have changed. This was written in 1936. The author was kind of looking back at the history of the church. This will surprise you. He writes, "I noticed that the pastor and deacons in the early days of the church were very observant of any unchristian manners or habits of its members. Committees, many, were appointed to visit the offenders and report to the church. And if they did not acknowledge their error, they would be dropped from membership." Right there, you're already going, wow, things have changed. One instance, members were visited for playing a game of croquet. The devil's game. That's surprising. I was reading it and I thought maybe they were visited for playing cards, because we remember when cards, or they were visited because they'd gone to a dance. Traditional Baptist, that's not okay. No, it was for playing a game of croquet. Another, where a member thought the pastor called too frequently at a neighbor's place. Not sure if they visited the pastor or the person who was gossiping, but either way. And then the author just writes, my, how times have changed. You know, if the issues of our church in this day and age, if the answers to those issues had been shared with people in 1836 or in 1892, they would not have been able to bear it. There's a person in the community whose grandparents used to be part of this church, and he'll regularly tell me, he'll say, oh, if they knew there was now a woman pastor, they would roll over in their grave. Because that was the reality, right? Like, women didn't do this. And so, like, again, my, how times have changed. If they were being given directions on how women in the pulpit should dress, for instance, they wouldn't have been able to bear it. It sounds silly, but they wouldn't have been able to bear it. If they had been given instructions on Oh, any number of the social issues going on in our world today, they wouldn't have been able to bear it. The same is true for the disciples. And for when John is writing, he's aware that he's writing for more than just those first disciples. He's writing for the cloud of witnesses yet to come. He says they weren't able to bear it, but don't worry, the Spirit of truth is going to continue to be with you, giving you the wisdom and guidance of Jesus Christ that you need when you need it. And that's the same message for us. Whatever is coming, whatever is facing us, we might not be able to know about it now. We might worry about, oh, anything could happen. Who knows what's going to happen? Elaine's going away. Things could fall apart. You know, the reality is I'm just not that powerful in this church. You guys are going to be so okay over the coming months. We start to worry about those things. And I think maybe the disciples worried about those. And Jesus says, you don't have to worry. It's too early right now. I'm not going to tell you everything right now because you can't bear it. You can't even fathom it. But trust that the Spirit will be there to give you the guidance to speak to you with wisdom when you need it, as you need it. People in this church might have been going, what are we going to do when Don Fleming can't do what he does anymore? God wasn't the least bit worried. He was busy working on J. Hoover. And he's busy working on others as well. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth when we need it. We don't need to know ahead of time what we're going to say, what we're going to do. We just need to know when we need to know. And the Spirit of truth is always there, always ready to guide us.